Hello, I'm Susan Spence. Welcome to Inside Lighter Life, the monthly podcast from Lighter Life. This is the place to listen to tips, advice, and features on how to lose weight fast, as well as interviews with health experts, Lighter Life counsellors, and real-life clients. Lighter Life offers weight loss and weight management programmes for both women and men who have one stone or more to lose. You can find out more by visiting our website, www.lighterlife.com. Our theme this month is the ideal state of mind. I'll be chatting to the journalist and TV presenter Carol Malone, who recently revealed on the Alan Titchmarsh show that she believed she's discovered her ideal state of mind with the Lighter Life programme. We'll also talk to Carol's new friend, Elizabeth Piner. The pair met during their group session in Ham in Surrey, and we'll hear how they spurred each other on to achieve success, while their Lighter Life counsellor, Jill Bonney, explains why she thinks they've been successful in maintaining their weight loss. Also this month, Mandy Cassidy, our consultant psychotherapist, pops in to answer your questions in our Ask the Expert feature. And of course, we have our competition. As you'll hear in the podcast, Elizabeth runs a business in Kingston in Surrey. It's called Having a Ball Dress Hire. She's dressed many celebrities, including the Wimbledon champion Serena Williams. And this month, it could be your turn. We're giving two lucky listeners the chance to win dress hire up to the value of £100 each. So if you've got a party, a wedding or any other special event coming up that you want to look glamorous for, then this is the perfect opportunity. And if you don't live in the area, don't worry, we'll arrange for you to claim your prize at a dress hire business somewhere near you. To enter the competition, simply email your views and comments on the podcast, along with your name and where you're from, to podcast@lighterlife.com. That's podcast@lighterlife.com. And as a thank you, two lucky listeners will receive glamorous dress hire up to the value of £100 each. The closing date for feedback is Monday, May the 3rd, and you can read the full terms and conditions on our website, lighterlife.com. But first of all, as always, we get the views of Lighter Life's chief exec, Sarah Jamieson. Sarah, this month we're concentrating on the ideal state of mind, which I personally find extremely interesting. But is there an ideal state of mind for successful weight loss?
Of course, everyone has their own personal motivation for when they start their Lighter Life journey. And I think what Carol's talking about when she talks about being in the ideal state of mind is the fact she's referring to what her motivation has been for making real changes and how ready she was to commit to her Lighter Life journey. So for her, it's been a holistic approach to see how she sees her goals. And by going to her group, she's been able to find out much more about her own reasons for weight gain in the past and also how she can start to plan to keep it off for the future.
And would you say then that this is the most beneficial thing that clients learn on their Lighter Life journey?
Well, it's true to say that most diets work. And when I say work, of course, I'm putting that in inverted commas, because if you cut down on your calorie intake and you start to get more active, you'll lose weight. It's not rocket science. Where people fall down is either not sticking to the eating plan in the first place, or, of course, the biggest challenge of all probably is going back to old habits once they've lost the weight. And then sitting there and thinking, how on earth has that happened? Why has all this weight gone back on? So the difference with what we do at Lighter Life is how we work with clients in groups. Through our cognitive behavioural therapy and transactional analysis techniques, we help clients identify their own particular reasons for gaining weight and the emotional state they're in when they overeat. Our clients have a great opportunity to see how by changing their thinking, they can ultimately change their behaviour. And that's not just for now, it's for the future going forward. So we're much more than your average diet. We are genuinely all about living lighter for life.
Are the emotional links to food easier to deal with on the Lighter Life Total programme whilst you're abstaining from conventional food? And does it not become harder when you reintroduce food?
Well, what I'd say here, of course, with any type of addictive behaviour, it's easier to abstain from the problem. Taking away what you think is the temptation makes it easier to deal with. And whilst on Lighter Life Total, as you quite rightly said, you simply need the food packs to provide your daily nutrition. Of course, what you're finding out in your groups is that it's not the food per se that's the problem. What people realise when they're with Lighter Life is that they've been using the food to deal with many, many difficult situations, the stresses of life, boredom, control, other family issues, you name it. And what our clients also find out in groups is ways of dealing effectively with these issues without turning to food. So once clients reach a weight that they're comfortable with, then they reintroduce a full range of conventional food to everyday life. And to help clients deal with this and manage their weight effectively, we have the next stage to the Lighter Life journey. This stage is where clients slowly reintroduce food, and whilst they're doing this, they're also looking at the emotional and situational triggers that may lead to overeating again, and how they're going to deal with these, because one thing's for certain, we all do face these issues day after day after day. We recognise that weight management is a journey. It has ups and downs on the way, which, for those of you who are familiar with the Lighter Life brand and the ribbon which goes above our logo, will see that the ribbon undulates, because that's actually the ups and downs of everyday life. What we're trying to do at Lighter Life is give people the tools to stick to their journey, because actually, weight management is what you're doing for the rest of your life.
That's funny you should say about the ribbon. I looked at the ribbon last night because, as you know, I'm still on the light program, and I had one of the nut fudge bars, and for some reason I was looking at it, staring at it and reading about it, and then I saw the ribbon and I thought, that's really quite unusual. What is that? Is that something that clients or counsellors actually ask as to how you come up with that particular icon for the brand?
Yeah, people do ask. I think a few people reach that conclusion themselves, but the majority of people ask, and it is really quite clear. If you look at the ribbon in a bit more detail next time you're eating your nut fudge bar, you'll see that at the beginning it dips and it peaks quite dramatically, and as the ribbon comes across the word Lighter Life, those peaks and troughs diminish, but we do recognize that they still exist. Our role is to help clients minimise those peaks and troughs around their weight management journey.
Excellent. Well, now we know. You're going to kill me for this, but, you know, we started this off right at the beginning of the new year when we did New Year's resolutions. And I bet when I asked you, you never thought I was going to hound you every single month. But now I find that I have to do this. How is the gardening going?
Susan, I cannot believe that every month you ask me about the gardening, but I can report back some activity this month. We have some nice camellias. Now, okay, you're looking at me slightly vaguely because I too did not know what a camellia was until this weekend, but they look very nice. I believe that this weekend I have some work lined up for me with the azaleas. So I'll be learning about azaleas this weekend. And I'm hoping that the cherry tree is going to blossom. However, I have heard that snow is forecast, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So none of which really I've done much of at the moment, but I'm learning. Does that count?
Yeah, I think that's quite good because we're only a couple of weeks or so into the light nights. But I tell you what, I think we might plan for maybe a couple of months' time when we hit right towards maybe July, August. And that is, I think we should be given an invite to the Jamieson Garden.
I'll see what I can do.
Sarah, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Susan.
Pause for thought. People can change. The question is not whether we change, but how much we passively drift into it and how much we direct change, actively choosing to create the person we really want to be. But two things, it never happens overnight and it never gets done for you. Change takes time and it takes efforts on your part.
The theme of this month's podcast is the ideal state of mind. Now, the idea has been inspired by the journalist and TV presenter Carol Malone, who believes she's discovered her ideal state of mind with the Lighter Life programme. Carol, welcome to Inside Lighter Life.
Hello.
Now, I know our listeners will be intrigued to find out more about your thoughts on the ideal state of mind, but before we chat about that, let's talk about your Lighter Life journey. Now, first of all, what inspired you to start Lighter Life Total?
I think, as with most people, what inspired me was desperation. You know, I tried almost everything else over the years, over the last 25 years, and have lost weight and put it on and lost it again and put it on again. And I just knew that I needed to do something that was very radical because I was out of control. And what I'd realised was that on normal diets, I wasn't able to control my food. So I wanted something that was just going to tell me what to do, and Lighter Life was easy in that way because it's unequivocal.
How did you find out about Lighter Life?
I found out about it because I'd just seen a lot of people. A couple of friends had been on it. And I just thought, okay, I'm going to give it a go. And I suppose what inspired me with them was the weight loss was so quick. I'd been a member of other slimming clubs over the years, but I didn't like them because, you know, I was actually tired of this mantra that they all peddle, which is if you lose weight slowly, it's the only safe way to do it. That it's not safe to lose weight quickly. And I wasn't prepared to put in a year losing 3 stones. One of the other things that inspired me to go on Lighter Life was that I'd seen Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen's wife, Jackie, on television. And I'd always thought Jackie was a really attractive woman, even when she was big, actually. But then I saw her on a TV show last year, and she'd lost all her weight. And then I just saw her this day, and I remember she had an evening dress on TV, and she looked fabulous. And I found out how she'd lost weight, and I realised it was through a Lighter Life.
So did you actually have a chat with her?
I've talked to her since. I didn't talk to her at the time. I actually met her a few weeks ago when I just finished the programme, and she looks incredible.
Now, you started the Lighter Life Total programme in October of 2009. Tell us about how it all started and what weight loss you've actually achieved.
I remember when I met Jill, I was quite aggressive, actually. I went to her house. I was not happy. I wasn't helpful to her particularly because there's a part, there was one half of me, and it's always the way when you're fat, is the one part saying to me, you have to do this, the other half saying to me, you're not going to do this, it's stupid. And so I went with the wrong attitude, really, but had the induction, got weighed, did all that, and of course started the following week.
So what dress size were you?
I think I was probably hedging towards a size 18. And I think I'm now size 12. I can't actually quite believe I'm a size 12.
And you're maintaining that as well?
I'm maintaining it, and that I'm finding is actually harder than the diet. The diet is unequivocal. You know, when people say to you, can you have a bit of this and can you have a drink of that? The answer is very simple. No, I can't. Now it's not so simple. Now when people say, do you want a drink? I'm thinking, can I? And I do have one. And people say, do you want to have this? And, you know, I don't want to go through my life denying myself the foods that I love. I'm going to try and find a way to incorporate that as well as being determined to stay the weight I am.
So let's go right back to the beginning then, when you made the decision to come to the information session at Jill's house and you arrived there. How did you feel when you got there? You said you were a little bit aggressive at some points. It was kind of like two heads that you had. Overall, though, how did it make you feel making that first move?
Yeah, when I got to Jill's house, and I've said I felt quite aggressive and quite resistant, actually. But the other part of me said, you know, there is nothing else now, because literally I have tried everything. And I just thought, okay. And that's why I guess I was angry, because I was angry for putting myself in the position, you know. So, yeah, I was a bit angry and I was a bit resistant, but I knew there was no choice.
And then when you decided, okay, I'm going to make the first move, I'm going to attend the first meeting, how was your first meeting in comparison to, say, the information session?
The first meeting, I think I was probably still a bit grumpy. I was still not too happy with myself. And I got the food and did all that. And then by day four, I swear to God, I don't think I've ever felt so miserable and depressed in my entire life. I actually... I remember driving towards Jill's house because I said, I've got to see someone. I've got to talk to someone. And I was almost hysterical, and I was crying in the car. And that is not me, you know. That is not Karen Malone. I don't get like that over almost anything. And I felt probably more out of control on day four than I felt being fat, because I didn't like the fact that food had had this hold on me, and it suddenly... dawned on me that I was being childish and stupid, and that food played such a big part of my life, and that I had 3 months ahead of me without it. And I truly, truly didn't think I was going to be able to cope until I spoke to someone that night.
And how did that help you then? What was it that Jill did for you that allowed you to say, right, okay, I need to keep going with this? And you got past the 4 days and into the next week and to continue with the programme.
I think what helped me get past it was that I was told that I wasn't the only one, that almost everyone else felt like that as well. And that did help. And I was told that it would get better. And it's really funny. I know people I know have started since, people that I've recommended the program to. And I always ring them on day four and I say, look, I know you're just desperate, but it's going to get better. I promise it's going to get better. And it does get better.
And in terms of your first, you got through your first week, you came for to get weighed and obviously to continue with your next set of food packs. How did it make you feel when you got on the scales? Was the weight loss great?
I think that is the key to everything, because with every other diet you do, you probably in a week can lose 3-4 pounds. The great thing about this diet is that in the first week, you're down a dress size. And then you think, oh, hello, this is the way to go. And after that, that's why it gets easiest. But you actually see immediate results, and that's what's fantastic.
And how big a part did the groups play in your weight loss and helping you with your weight loss?
The group was a great, it's a great kind of touch base thing, you know. You can't do that kind of thing alone, even now that I'm at my goal weight. I don't need to come every week anymore because I'm kind of, but I do need to come. I think the great thing is that you know that everyone else is feeling the same. And I think what happens is you go through various stages of low self-esteem too. And you, if you think that, God, this is so hard for me, this is harder for me than anyone else, you get to your group and you realize it's exactly the same for everyone. And that's what keeps you in touch with it. You realize you're all going through the same thing. And what was great for me was coming every week and seeing people shrinking. I mean, visibly shrinking in front of my eyes. It was a great boost for me to see women who were 10 stones overweight suddenly liking themselves again, suddenly feeling good about themselves, changing their hair, changing their clothes. That is a great boost for everyone. We boosted each other. We all boost each other.
And a lot of people say that the difference between Lighter Life and other weight loss programs is the counselling. How is that for you?
The counselling is good. You know, I mean, I'm not an easy person. I'm a journalist, and so I ask lots of questions. And I think that's probably frustrating for some of the lecturers I talk to. But, you know, I want to know the answers. I want to know why I'm feeling like I feel. And you know, if I'm not happy with the answer, I'll keep on asking the question until I get it. And that's what's great about the counsellors, because, you know, they've heard most of these questions before. And they're also willing to be challenged. I think you have to, you know, people, if you've got smart people coming to your classes, people who have thought process, they've got to be allowed to express that.
Now, obviously, you started in October, as you said, you hit Christmas, and that was clearly going to be a difficult time for you. How did you cope with it?
I kind of, you know, what happened when Jill told me that I wouldn't cheat, what happened was it was a halfway house for me. I waited until the 23rd of December when I had a party at our house of canapés and wine and champagne. And what I did was I had some drinks that night, not lots, but, you know, and I had a couple of canapés that night to feel like I was part of it. And over Christmas, I didn't come off it totally. What I did was I did breakfast and lunch of Lighter Life. And then in the evening, because we had friends staying, I would have a meal of sorts.
Okay, so you came back after Christmas in January, full of beans, ready to continue on your journey. How did you get through the next month, and did you reach the weight that you had targeted?
Yeah, I mean, when I came back in January, I was raring to go. I was very keen to get back on it full time. I knew I had about a stone to go, and I knew that wouldn't take too long. So I was very keen. And it wasn't hard at all to get back on. I was ready, you know. I think that's the thing, if you decide to fall off the wagon, as opposed to you're out of control and falling off, and I had decided, you know, I was just as keen to get back on as I had been to get off. So, you know, it was a very conscious, you know, it was the thought out decision for me. So, yeah, I started straight away, and it wasn't hard.
And that's a weight now that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, you know what's really exciting? I have never been 10 stone anything since I was 15, and you know what? I'm not even sure I was then, and it's. I am now the weight I always thought I should be. And it feels very right for me. It feels very comfortable for me. It's interesting how people's reactions to you change. You know, this is one of the things that I notice, where there's always lots of people say, oh, you've lost too much now. And there's part of me thinks, stuff it, I haven't. Because I know I haven't. This is right for me. I don't look ill. I don't look unwell. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work out a lot now. And I just feel good, you know. I just feel like me.
And how are you able to maintain your weight? How do you cope with that? Because obviously it is quite difficult. After the 14 weeks, you've been in abstinence, and then you have to slowly introduce food. And that's when it can be very difficult. How are you coping with that?
I think maintaining your weight is much harder than losing your weight. I'm finding this cripplingly difficult because I still love food. I will always love food, you know. It doesn't matter what weight I am. I'm always going to love cakes. I'm always going to love chocolate. My role in life now is to control what I do about that. So while I'm incorporating what I call real food back into my life again. I'm also aware that if I mess up, and you know, everyone's going to mess up, because if you get fat in the first place, that's what's going to happen. You've messed up. Every time I mess up, I think I can get that back. I can pull that back. There's a way to redeem this, and there's a way to redeem it quickly so that I can see the results quickly. But I don't pretend that this is easy. This is harder for me than the diet, because now I have choice. And when I have choice, my natural choice isn't to go to a lettuce leaf and a tomato. It's to go to the Krispy Kreme counter, which I haven't done, I have to say. But, you know, even if I do at some point, I'm going to have it in my head that I can rescue myself. And that's why this diet is good for me. And I just think I want to say to people that, you know, don't be desperate if you do mess up. Because everyone messes up in every area of their life. But just know that this is the answer for it, that you can put yourself back in control very quickly. And I suppose of everything that this diet has done for me, it's put me back in control.
So ultimately then, you found your own way to maintain your weight.
Yes, it's not classically route to management. It's not exactly what I should be doing in the book. However, it is my way. And for me, the great thing is that I can come back to the group, because a lot of the people in the group have now become friends, and we regard it, and we see each other outside of the group. So we have that contact, and we kind of watch each other too. But it's very important to come back. I mean, a few weeks ago, I said to Jill, when I started to eat again, I rang her and said, I'm out of control. I don't know what I'm doing. I know what food to eat, but I can't do it. I want to cheat and I want to eat chocolate. And she said, come in and we'll have a chat, which is what I did. And it wasn't even a group thing. It was just her and I had a chat. And that kind of, I thought, okay, I've got it in my head now. And then I went out and did my next week. But I think it's important to come back. Just to keep contact with the people you've met, to keep contact with the group, and to keep contact with what's going to sort you out, actually.
And what have you learned about why you put on weight in the first place?
I know why I put on weight. I have known all my life. I've been putting on weight and taking it off all my life. I just like food, you know, and that's not going to change. But what is going to change, hopefully, is the way I handle that addiction to food. I have an addiction to food, like lots of people are overweight. And I don't think it's dramatic to say that. It's how I handle my addiction, and I'm hoping that I've learned a sensible way to handle it. While I will always love Krispy Kreme donuts and chocolates, what I love more is going into a shop and picking a size 10 pair of jeans off the shelf and putting them on. That just feels to me like I've come home. So for me, that's what I have to remember. And I bought too many clothes now that are size 10, not to keep to it.
So you're maintaining your weight, you're still keeping in touch with the group. You've spoken that there is an ideal state of mind. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that, you know, there is no such thing as an ideal diet, but there is a state of mind you need to be in to make a diet work. And I had got to that stage last October when I had tried almost everything else. I was out of control. I wasn't able to control what I eat on a daily basis. And I suppose it's desperation that put me into the ideal state of mind, when you think there's nowhere else to go. I have to do this. And that's how I was. And I knew I had to do something radical. And that was me in my ideal state of mind.
Obviously, exercise is a big part of your life. Now, that is something I understand you learned when you were on Celebrity Fit Club.
Yeah, I mean, when you're big, I was going to say when you're a big fat thing, but I can say that because I was. When you don't go to a gym because you feel embarrassed and you feel stupid and you're terrified to ask people how the machinery works, and so you just don't do it. And the thing with Fit Club, people might remember, there was a trainer called Harvey who was vicious and cruel and savage to us all. And Harvey actually really did hate fat people. I mean, he was disgusted with us. So you knew you had to do what he said. And what was incredible was, you know, you kind of start it, and you can't do it. I used to go on a cross trainer for like 2 minutes and I'd want to fall off. Now I can run on a cross trainer for 60 minutes. That's about stamina. It's about deciding. It's about getting the weight off so you're not trolling so much weight around on these machines. But for me now, a gym it's vital, you know, because I am going to still eat some naughty things in my life. And the way I can control that and make sure I don't put weight on is by dieting and by going to the gym. And that's the healthy way to do it for me. And I'm never going to say I enjoy it, because I don't. It would be an absolute lie. And every morning I go and I put my kit on, not Well, I know that's a lie. I don't go every morning. But when I go, I put my kit on. And before I've got to the car, I've thought of 12 excuses why I can't go because I'm way too busy. But the truth of it is I just don't want to go. I get there and I do it. And afterwards, I just feel good. My skin looks good. I look fresh. I look healthy. And I've got energy for the rest of the day. So for me, it's vital now. You know, I'm never going to love it. I'm not going to pretend I love it. But to me, it's vital.
And what advice would you give to anybody who's thinking about starting Lighter Life or somebody who's already begun their Lighter Life journey?
I know that for people thinking of starting Lighter Life, I know where they're at. I know they're desperate. I know they'll have tried everything else. I know they'll have been on every other diet because no one decides to go on a no-eating program unless they're desperate. And all I'd say is while the first few weeks are desperately hard, they are on a normal diet. But, you know, the rewards are brilliant. And, you know, everyone in my class, I look at them now and I could cheer for them because they all look incredible.
And finally, it's clear by everything that you've said that your Lighter Life journey has left a lasting impression on you.
My journey has left a lasting impression on me. There are parts of it that where I was beside myself with you know, sadness, that beside myself with just not being in control of myself. But also, there have been amazing times when I've been beside myself with joy because I'm somewhere where I've never been before. And I know it's not going to be easy to stay here. I know I've still got work to do, but I'm here. And that's all I'd say to everyone else. I'm here. If I can get here, you sure as hell can get there.
Carol, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for everything, all the hints and tips that you've given us about your Lighter Life journey. And we wish you every success for the rest of it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Pause for thought. Though no one can go back and make a new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending.
Elizabeth Piner is also in Carol's group, and they've both become good friends since starting the Lighter Life programme. Elizabeth, thanks for coming in to chat to us. You and Carol started at the same time, which was in October of 2009. Why did you decide to start at that time?
I thought October was the perfect time for me because I knew I had weight to lose and I wanted to lose it before Christmas to get into my party fox. But I actually carried on with the diet till after Christmas to lose all the weight I had to lose.
And why Lighter Life?
I tried many, many diets before and always put the weight back on again, or I just found them very difficult to maintain. But I chose Lighter Life because you go into abstinence where you just have the food packs, and when you are emotional around food, I thought that was the best way of doing it.
So you said there that you're emotional around food. What do you mean by that?
Because I was not in control. That is, you lose the weight, you don't need to think about food. Thinking about food comes afterwards when you go into route management and you learn how to cope with your emotions.
And when you say out of control, give us an example of that.
I would start to binge. I would start to binge and not being able to stop. And when I went on other diets, that's what I would do. And so I knew I just didn't want to do that again. And I just knew I had to change and do something completely different. And this is why I came to Lighter Life, yeah.
So how quickly did you start to lose the weight?
Very quickly. I could see it in my clothes. You know, all of a sudden I could fit into clothes that I hadn't worn for a long time. So, yeah, it came off immediately. Yeah, which was fab.
And what dress size did you begin?
Okay, so when I first started, I was a size 18, and I could see that I was actually going up. And so then I went down. Now I'm a size 12.
And how are you doing now with maintaining? Because you're quite good, I understand, at route management.
Yeah. I'm doing very well. I'm very strict and I'm very good. I take the route management book to bed with me, and I read it and I read it again, you know, to make sure that I really know what I'm doing, because I think it's really important once you've been in abstinence to very slowly reintroduce food. And reintroduce different types of food every week. And it really helps you to do that. And I think it's really very, very important. And then still, I come to the weekly meetings and you get weighed and the scales will tell you the truth.
And what about the highs and lows?
Well, the highs obviously were losing all the weight and getting everyone, when you come into the group, saying, you look great, you know, I can see the weight has come on, off, and you yourself then feel it's fantastic. And the lows, didn't really have too many lows. Can't really think of any. I have been very positive throughout, yeah.
How do you feel that your life's changed since beginning Light to Life Total?
Well, I find I'm in control because my life before revolved a lot around food. And because, you know, I was overweight, I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. And now I control it. I my weight is what it is now. And I know I can put on clothes and I can go to places. So I feel I'm in control, yeah.
You mentioned their dress sizes. Now, you actually own a dress hire business.
Yes, I do. Well, going through the stages of losing weight, I found I spent a lot of time actually trying on my own clothes and, you know, seeing, will I fit into this and will I fit into that? And so I try on my own clothes. And now that I'm actually a size 12, I own this dress hire business, and I have racks and racks of dresses. I actually spend a lot of time in there trying on all the different outfits, and it helps me with my business, because there are a lot of women who come to me who are my age, and it's very important that you feel good in your clothes and that you have the right kind of clothes. So it helps me to try on different dresses and how I feel, then I know how to help other women who want to look good and looking for the right kind of dress, yeah.
And how do you think your future looks now that you've lost all the weight with Lighter Life?
Nothing will stop me now. I can do what I want to do because I feel good in myself. I'm the size I want to be, and that's very important to me.
Well, let's bring back Carol at this point, because, of course, both of you started together at the same time in October of 2009, and you became firm friends. How did you both start to get talking?
Well, firm friends is a bit of an exaggeration, because we were flabby friends when we first met. I guess it's because Elizabeth is very lively. And I was attracted to her immediately. And there was another lady in our group as well called Annabelle. And we became, you know, a little group within the group, if you like. And we both had about the same amount of weight to lose, which kind of does bond you. You know, we knew we were going to be starting at the same time and maybe finishing at the same time. So, yeah, we that's how we got to know each other.
Yeah, I saw Carol and I saw how beautiful she was and how lively and really interesting to listen to. And we both had the same amount of weight to lose, and we compared every week, and yeah, like that.
You must have both noticed some major changes between the two of you since week one and now. Tell us the types of things.
It's incredible because Elizabeth is a skier anyway, and what I've noticed about her is that she is incredibly firm now. You know, a lot of people can lose weight and then have to firm up, and that's what I'm having to do. But she her figure is really good now. She has a really round, lovely, slim figure now, you know, a very womanly figure. And I guess that's what, you know, you kind of, every week you look at someone emerging, it's almost like it's like a butterfly emerging, you know, from the chrysalis. It's incredible how, you know, she was always attractive. Now she's incredibly attractive, and I think that's what you feel about yourself too. You're thinking, okay, you know, I'm not like the back end of a bath, but every week you notice with the people that you're around that they just get better and better and better, and it's a joy to see. It's really a joy.
Yeah, I thought the same about Carol when she first came in. You know, she obviously was bigger, and then every week she just got slimmer and slimmer. And I thought how beautiful, and the clothes that she was wearing, you know, all of a sudden changing, wearing more fitted clothes. And Yeah, I noticed that every week, and she looked great.
That's true. We're both wearing skin-tight jeans. Yeah. Not today, but often that's what we wear. We meet each other, and we're both wearing, they show everything, and while we've got it, we're going to show it.
And what about meeting outside of the groups? I know that as you've obviously become friends and you meet outside of your Light to Life group, what kind of things do you do? Is it, do you discuss weight, or you just go for lunch, or what happens?
Well, no, we meet and we have coffee and stuff, but I have been to Elizabeth's house just in the past couple of weeks because the great thing, Elizabeth has a dress business. It's a dress hire business. And the great thing for me now is I go and she can fit me out and I can get into the dresses in this room that she's got, which like before, never could have. Now she just picks out all these things and says, this will fit you, this will fit you. And it does. It's fab. It's like fairyland going in there.
So it's quite clear then that the whole group idea really worked for you too and spurred you on and motivated to help you with your weight loss.
No question.
And obviously you both came to the same group, same place, same time each week. You followed the same plan. But was it different for each of you?
Do you know, I used to watch Elizabeth. She has a totally different mindset to me. She was very determined in a very single-minded way. I was determined to lose weight, but she just approached it differently to me. And I'm very competitive, and I never want to be beaten by anyone. And I saw in our group she could actually do it with me because she was actually tougher, you know. And so she used to make me stick to it because I'd say, are you going to cheat when you go to this thing? And she'd say, no, I'm not. And I'd go, oh, well, if she's not, well, I'm not going to either. And she was very different to me in her approach, very single-minded. And while I was single-minded about losing the weight, I wasn't quite so single-minded about sticking to the letter to the program. And she was. That's not to say I was cheating, because I didn't cheat when I was on absence at all. But since I have, and it's just good for me to have someone who was very tough about routine management, who was very decisive about how she's going to follow that. She has followed it to the letter. And what's happened, actually, is that her weight is staying off much easier than mine is. So she was right, and I've been sort of wrong.
It's focus. It's all about focus, really. That's what I think, yeah.
See what I mean? Very determined, very scary.
Well, we're going to have a chat now with your counsellor, Jill, who was the lady who had to keep control of you two. And by the sounds of it, it could have been a bit of a job at times. She is Jill Bonney. Jill, thank you very much for chatting to us. You must be really chuffed to hear how well Carol and Elizabeth have done.
I'm delighted. I feel that the way they're looking at it, they really are going, to me, they are approaching everything in a way which is going to enable their weight for the long term and not just for the short term.
And I imagine that the changes that you've seen in both of them are not just physical.
No, they're not just physical. The physical side's obviously the bit we see first off and it's exciting. But what I get excited about is noticing how much they have been doing stuff, which is really, I feel, going to keep their weight down for the long term. Part of that is the planning. In fact, I'd almost say all of it is the planning. Irrespective of whether it's done perfectly, for me, the bit that's key with any client, and particularly with both Elizabeth and Carol, is that they recognised ahead of time, they've been rehearsing it, they've been looking at it, that is going to ensure their long-term success. It's the right approach to what they're doing.
One thing I noticed from speaking to both of them is that route to management seems to be the key to keeping the weight off.
It is categorically the key. Losing weight, while it can be a really tough nut to crack for a lot of people, losing weight, particularly with Light to Life, is often the easy part. It's the honeymoon stage. A lot of people confuse having lost weight with having arrived. The route to management is where the work really starts. Without that, the keeping it off is very, very tough. So yes, it's pivotal to the plot.
Now let's talk about you a little bit. You've been a Light to Life counsellor for 9 years now. How did you get started?
I came in as a practicing counsellor already. I had trained in counselling and I was doing it privately in other areas. I also had weight issues with myself. I put on 3 stone 3 or 4 times in my life when I'd gone on holidays and eaten half of America or half of France, so I'd had to fight with that. By the time I came to Light to Life, I had in fact shifted from my previous job as before the counselling as cabin crew, where I used to eat an awful lot on long haul night shifts. I'd also done a rigorous yoga training course, so I brought my weight down for the most part. However, when you join Light to Life, even if you haven't been a client, you have to do the first 2 weeks of abstinence, which is the hardest part, so that you can say you've experienced it. And then you have to do the entire route to management.
Now, as a Light to Life counsellor, there are obviously many rewards because we've heard so many of them. But I imagine it's a career that has lots of challenges too.
I think, again, the challenges are around enabling my delivery and my communication with people so that I can really impart the huge importance of not going just once they've got the weight down. And to a great extent, people will hear what they want to hear. Their own readiness is going to be always key. However, the challenge for me is always, how can I improve my delivery, my communication enough so that this is going to be hopefully learnt before the fact rather than after? And that's probably going to be a lifelong thing.
And how do you encourage clients to celebrate their successes?
Well, obviously, I think the way in which most clients celebrate their success, they don't need any encouragement, that's going out and shopping, which sometimes is a double-edged sword. The way I would really encourage them to reward themselves is by looking at what they've gained by getting slimmer. What are the things which psychologically, emotionally they've got, which really, in terms of a lottery, we often talk these days whimsically in terms of, oh, if I won the lottery. Actually, to have effected a shift in our lives where our health is far more assured, how we feel about ourselves, our self-esteem, our self-respect is, you know, back there again. That is the biggest motivation. And one of the things about motivation and giving ourselves reward, that is the fuel that will affect our eating behaviour, that keeps our weight down. The other thing I also encourage people to do is to, while they're on the actual abstinence part of the programme or the light part of the programme, is to really look at that point, at how they reward themselves, be it by sharing with others or whatever, because food-centred socialising is a difficult one to get out of fully. Learning other ways around that are going to be best learnt through necessity while they are on the programme. Doing it later is always more difficult to get going with.
And finally, what would you say is key to maintaining weight loss?
Recognition, recognition and recognition. Underneath that is the planning. But it's very often when people start to go awry slightly, they're looking at, why am I overeating? Actually, the question is often, moreover, what's happened that I've stopped focusing? What's happened that I've stopped planning? It's the recognition of where the planning has gone askew that needs to be looked at. And a very succinct example of that might be, if someone is incredibly tired, it's very difficult to keep a focus when you're shattered the whole time. It could be because of shift, it could be to do with anything, but very often the answer might be, stop trying to stop the calories, go to bed earlier if you're able to. So it's recognition of planning and where you might be succeeding in that planning, where you might forget to plan, what is underlying that. That's the key issue the whole time, and your long-term commitment.
Jill, it's been a pleasure meeting you and your clients. Thank you very much for talking to Inside Lighter Life.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.
Pause for thought. Many people never feel their natural hunger because they feed their addictive hunger before their natural hunger appears. Emotional hunger can't be satisfied with food. Physical hunger can.
It's competition time now. Last month, we gave you the chance to win a 4GB iPod Shuffle retailing at £60. Perfect for listening to the Inside Lighter Life podcasts. All you had to do was email your comments on the podcast, March into Spring, which was all about the relaunched Lighter Life magazine. And our winner is Marion Beard from Bridgend in South Wales. Marion started her Lighter Life journey just a couple of weeks ago and says, the podcast has been so enjoyable, I have now subscribed on iTunes. So we'll look forward to it every month. I can listen on my computer, in the car, on my iPod, while in the gym. It's great. It's well put together, information, inspiration, practicality and fun. As a consequence of listening, I've subscribed to the new Lighter Life magazine and can't wait for it to come through my letterbox. Well, Marion, thank you so much for your comments. We're glad you're enjoying it. And congratulations, you've won the 4GB iPod Shuffle. And if you'd like to go back and listen to all the podcasts we've produced, then just visit the podcast page at lighterlife.com, where you'll find them all in one place just by clicking the archive button. Let me also remind you about this month's competition. Our prize is for two lucky listeners to win glamorous dress hire up to the value of £100 with Having a Ball Dress Hire in Kingston, Surrey. If you don't live in that area, don't worry, we'll arrange for you to claim your prize at a dress hire business somewhere near you. And like Marion, all you have to do is email your views and comments on this podcast, along with your name and where you're from, to podcast@lighterlife.com. That's podcast lighterlife.com. And as a thank you, we'll pick two emails at random. The closing date for feedback is Monday, May the 3rd, and you'll find full terms and conditions on our website, lighterlife.com. And the best of luck.
Pause for thought. Losing weight is only a temporary solution to a permanent problem, your potential for overeating. When weight is all you care about, your motivation disappears along with the weight. The cycle then continues the unhappy relationship with food. To keep the weight off, you must begin working with your body and not against it.
Every month, we'll be giving you the chance to ask the expert about anything you need to know regarding weight loss, healthy eating, fitness, or emotional and medical issues. So if you have a question or a problem that you need help with, then email the details to asktheexpert@lighterlife.com. That's asktheexpert, all one word, at lighterlife.com. This month, Mandy Cassidy, our consultant psychotherapist, is here answering your questions. Mandy, thanks for joining us. Our first question, Sally is in Devon and wants to ask, most of my social life seems to revolve around eating and drinking. What can I do to make sure I stay motivated enough to get through abstinence?
So, Sally, first of all, you don't have to stop socialising just because you're in abstinence. You can take your food packs and your bars and go out and enjoy yourself. But I think it might be worth thinking about how come your social life revolves around eating and drinking. Maybe that was part of the difficulty in the first place. This may be a great chance to actually do something different. Find things that you like doing, or maybe try new things, ask your friends along, that don't actually focus on the eating and drinking. And then when you've lost your weight, you will have made alterations in your lifestyle that's going to support you to manage your weight long term.
This is a question from Sue in Essex, and she says, my partner insists on eating fast food in front of me when I'm trying to watch my favourite TV programme. He says, I must learn not to be tempted. Help.
Hi, Sue. Look, you know, in a way, he's right that you are going to have to learn how to manage this. I'm curious what's going on between you and he, that he would sit there eating fast food in front of you. You do have some options around this. And some of the options are talk to him about it, but probably not when he's eating. So sit down and talk about how you'd like him to support you. Do you have to sit there? You could go and do something else. And the other option, of course, is to use your video. You watch the program on video later. Go out and take a walk. Go up and take a bath. Do something else other than sit there while he's eating.
Now, this is something I have to admit I've come across quite often. And this question is from Jane in Newcastle. Whilst I've noticed my relationship with food is changing, it's not the only relationship changing. My friends no longer seem to be my friends anymore. What's happening to them, or is it me?
This is an excellent question. Because not only is your relationship with food changing, but probably your relationship with yourself is changing. And the old friends and the old way of living may no longer suit you. In fact, some of your friends that you used to hang out with, you may no longer want to hang out with because they're not doing the kind of things that you want, or they're not interested in the kind of things you want. The other side of this is it can be quite threatening for other people to see you managing life differently. They can be jealous, or they can want you to stay the fat one in the group. All kinds of things can be happening. But it can lead to other people feeling insecure when they see you making such progress. I think the question for you is, how do you want to live your life? And what do you want from your friendships? And maybe the old ones were a part of the old life.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Because one would think that your friends would want the best for you. But when something like this happens and people start to lose weight, it's such a surprise when some of these things raise their head.
It's fascinating because sometimes people have an investment in you staying fat. And the way that works is you can be the one that they tease and laugh at. You can be the one that they kind of be nice to and say, oh, you come out with us. If you start coming into your own, you may well not accept that kind of teasing. You may no longer accept being the wallflower, and that can be quite frightening for your friends.
Sue in Surrey has a question for Mandy Cassidy, our consultant psychotherapist. I've lost nearly 3 stone, and my friends and family are telling me to stop dieting and go back to eating. What should I do?
Sue, have you lost the amount of weight that you're happy with? Many times our friends and family will see us losing weight, and on the Lighter Life program, of course, this happens very quickly, and they become concerned because they see you changing literally before their very eyes. The question is, have you reached a weight that you're happy with rather than your friends and family? You might want to sit down and talk to them about what their concerns are, why they think you should go back to food. Maybe they've got some legitimate concerns and you want to listen to them. Or maybe they're just worried that you're changing too fast. Either way, talk to them, and it's up to you what you do. As long as you're a healthy weight, that's all that matters.
Mandy Cassidy, thank you for joining us on Inside Lighter Life. Next month, another Lighter Life expert will be popping in to answer your questions. If you'd like to get involved and ask the expert, then please email your question along with your name and where you're from to asktheexpert@lighterlife.com. That's asktheexpert@lighterlife.com. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Inside Lighter Life podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. Check back at the beginning of May at lighterlife.com for the next podcast, when our theme will be a healthy weight. We'll be exploring what that really means for a variety of clients. And just before I go, if you'd like to find out more about Lighter Life and how to lose weight fast in a safe and sustainable way, then please visit our website, www.lighterlife.com. I'm Susan Spence, and on behalf of all the team at Lighter Life, thanks for listening.